Hello and welcome to the next episode of the Wildcast, which is technically episode 65, but I'm not sure. Kind of feels like a season two almost. Maybe a season three. It's been a little bit of time, but we're back. And Tom, you join me once again from a relatively sunny other side of Swindon. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm good. It's sunny. It's nice. It's the middle of summer. I'm enjoying my summer, definitely. I hope you're enjoying yours too. I hope everyone listening's enjoying their summer. But I'm also kind of got to that point now where we're on the podcast. I want it to be September. I want to be in a cold, I think. I want it to be dark and, you know, have a chance to watch the boys on the ice again. But yeah, no, I'm really good. How are you?
Yeah, no, I'm good. It's been refreshing. I think we said to each other at the end of last season we both wanted to take a little bit of a break away from hockey and the podcast, just because I think it kind of, there felt like ever since we kind of came back from COVID, there'd just been so much hockey in what felt like a really short amount of time. Like, you look back to last summer and it was a really short off season, because of, you know, Coventry being May in 2022 and loads of, you know, other things, and then the season starting early and then kind of going straight back into it. So we said we were going to take a bit of a break, let things settle down. So like I said, it is mid-July, we're back. The Wildcats have been busy. Let's not lie about that. We've got a lot of people to talk about. But equally, like, from a podcast perspective, I think we've been chatting about what we want to do going into next season and how the Wildcast is going to be. And I think when we started this back in 2020?
Yeah, it must have been 2020.
2020, because it was COVID, it was pandemic. We were sat in, you know, different, well, I say different places. We were sat in the same room because we were locked down. But
I mean, we're still sat in different places now. We're just allowed to come and swap it up and finish.
Yeah, it's very true. But we kind of started the podcast about the Wildcats, and I think we want to kind of focus this year on going back to that, getting a few more people lined up, and talking about hockey in Swindon, whilst also touching on hockey in the National League, but focusing it on what it was to start off with, which I think we kind of got distracted with when actual hockey came back, which is bizarre, but that's kind of how it went.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah. Don't really know what to add to that.
We're starting.
It's one of those things. I suppose we've got our niche. You know, we are the podcast of the Swindon Wildcats, or a podcast focusing about the Swindon Wildcats. And yeah, like, we want, obviously, you know, we're not going to ignore the world of British hockey. You know, there are other things that go on, and we are going to mention these things. But yeah, we want to just go focus back on kind of our roots and what, you know, what we're most passionate in talking about.
Yep. No, I agree. And I think that's the plan. So like I said, there'll be more episodes. When the season gets underway, I think we probably talked about trying to do a fortnightly thing rather than a weekly thing, because, you know, time commitments to do something like this isn't easy. But, you know, let's do quality over quantity.
And let's be honest, there's no point us trying to do a weekly thing because we won't manage it. So
no, we won't.
We aim for fortnightly. There's at least half a chance we'll get the majority of those episodes in.
Yeah, exactly that. And like I said, we want to get more people lined up. We do have, in fact, I talked about that at the end of the episode. So having said all that, I'm going to start away from Swindon because we both said we need to talk about this, and I don't know where I want to put it, and I don't want to talk about it. But obviously the biggest news this summer was, so far, has been the absolutely tragic loss to British hockey and the world of hockey and the United Kingdom of young Alex Graham up in Sheffield. I tweeted the day after it was announced, like, he could destroy teams, and he destroyed Swindon on many occasions, and I would give my right arm, left arm, right leg, left leg, whatever, to see him destroy the Wildcats one more time if it meant that, you know, he was still around in the... And to be fair, not this year in the National League. He'd signed his Elite League deal. He'd made that move, and he's not there. And there's nothing else I can say. I can't say it or add anything, but I just want to put my thoughts out there. I know it's been a couple of weeks now, but I just can't really process it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where when I saw the news, or when I heard, you know, I heard we both heard kind of whispers that something was going to be like this was coming out, and I think we kind of both said that it can't be. And when it actually then comes out and official, you sort of sit there and read it, and you read it again, and you don't quite take it in. You don't quite believe what you're reading. You know, this is a player. He was, you know, Alex Graham was 20 years old. He was, it's, you know, he was possibly a future GB star. I think almost certainly a future Elite League star, future GB star. It's kind of very, very difficult to process what, you know, the fact that he's gone and he won't be around in the future, and he won't be playing, as you say, won't be destroying teams. The last time any of us and ourselves on the podcast, obviously other people saw him play after that, but he played in that playoff game in Sheffield at the end of last season. I just had a quick glance at Elite Prospects. He had 5 points on the night. He was one of the main reasons for what happened on that night. And as you say, he could destroy teams. He destroyed a Zen. And it turns out that was the last time. And yeah, that's kind of, it's going to be very strange. I think he wasn't going to be on the Steel Dogs this year. He'd signed with the Sheffield Steelers. It's going to be very odd now going to play the Steel Dogs that first time we go out there, or the first time they come down to Swindon, and him not being on the roster, more so than it would have been if he just signed in Sheffield. And yeah, like I say, thoughts go to his family, friends, teammates, those who know him a lot better than us. But yeah, it's a real kind of body blow to the sport in this country for so many reasons. And yeah, it's fairly, yeah, still even now kind of talking about it, and this is a month later, it's hard to
there are no words. And it, like your point in there is interesting about, you know, when we play Sheffield for the first time, we knew he wasn't going to be there, but this isn't the same. This is very much not the same. And I also think it's going to be strange when we play Leeds, because they won't have Cole Shudra now, and we'll know why they don't have Cole Shudra now.
Yeah.
And I think that it's going to be those whole eventualities is going to be very strange. And I just cannot bring my brain to kind of process the fact that, like, I mean this like with the best will in the world, but he didn't even get to his jersey number age.
No.
And he was 21. Like, it's insane.
Yeah, and when you look at it, this is a player that I think we all thought we'd see watch play for GB and in the Elite League and Sheffield and wherever we wanted to play for 15 years.
Easy, if not more.
Another 15 years, you know, into his 30s. There was no reason to think that he wouldn't. He, like I say, had... Yeah, he was, you know, one of the, you know, best players that has been developed in the UK, like purely in the UK in recent years. And yeah, he was going to have a long career ahead of him. So yeah, it's a tough loss. And yeah, it is.
And we both said it, but you know, our continued thoughts go out with everyone in Sheffield, in British hockey, his family, his friends, the players that knew him, the players that played against him, the fans that watched him, everyone. Like, it's, I think you summed it up. It's a body blow. It's an absolutely massive body blow. And we felt like we wanted to address that. So I know we've spoken about how we're going to kind of keep things more Swindon focused, but some things are just more important than that. And that was one of them.
Yeah, exactly. We're not going to ignore the big things that are going on in the British hockey world just to say we're going to only talk about Swindon. There's a lot more outside of the world of the Wildcats, and sometimes that's going to need to be addressed.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And there's equally no way I can really kind of transition from one story to another here, so I don't apologies if this comes across any way other than it needs to be, but we can now look at the roster that the Wildcats are putting together. You know, there's been no official communication that this is the roster done. Maths state it's pretty much there because, you know, there's roster limits this year and there's certain positions that have to be filled by certain people, and we are not far off. So
yeah, but that's, but that includes maths, and
I can't work out exactly
what positions we could potentially fill. But yeah, I think we can safely say we're there or thereabouts. If there's another signing or two, then fair enough. But I think it's safe to say that this is probably how the Cats look like on opening night. You know,
yeah. I mean, the basic maths, which I am confident in myself to do, is the fact that we've got 2 goalies, 6 D-men, and 13 forwards. There isn't much more space.
No, exactly. That feels pretty much like a roster. And, you know, as you said, there may be one more surprise. You just never know. But yeah, from my maths, this is pretty much what we're going to see on opening night now. So
yeah, no, I agree. So let's start at the back, and we're going to kind of work through three groups of players here. We've got the first one's going to be quite easy because there's only two to talk about. And then it gets a little bit more complicated because we've got 6 and then there's 13 and we'll probably be here for an hour. Well, spoiler alert, we won't be. Rennie and Tyler Perry between the pipes for the Cats this year. I'm happy with that. You know, Rennie's a brilliant goalie at this level. Absolutely superb. I think it's fair to say he probably didn't have his best year last year. Then we're probably going to say this a lot. The Wildcats didn't have their best year last year. So, you know, there's reasons for that. I think he's a great guy. There's a lot of Cats fans that will be listening to this podcast that know what a brilliant bloke he is. He's taken... People forget that he came to Swindon on the back of having to basically take over the jersey from the great British netminder we've ever had in Stevie Lyle. And he's kind of made it his own. You know, he's won trophies, he's won leagues, he's won cups. Cannot fault what Rennie's going to bring to the team. We know what he's going to be like. We know he's going to be good. And we know he's going to get on well in the locker room. With Tyler, again, a guy that's been away with Bristol for a couple of years. He's been working on his game. He's probably played more games in the last couple of years than he had done before he left Swindon, in terms of actual game time. And another top lad. I know you and me both get on really well with him.
Yeah, exactly. As you say, with Rennie, safe to say he's had better years in the Cats jersey than he did last year. Particularly the first half of the year, possibly, you know, we'd had a couple of changes in the D group. That doesn't help with a goalie, you know, when he's still trying to get used to players in front of him. You obviously had Eddie Beveris going back on D. We'll talk about that in a bit, but you know, it kind of changes the sort of structure of the team in front of you. And I think many struggle a little with that. I thought he was better the second half of the year. He got a bit more of a consistent run of games, a consistent run of form. Obviously, playoffs were a tough one, but they were kind of tough for everyone in that group. But you know, we know what Rennie can do when he's in form, when he's confident, when he's playing well. And you know, Tyler is, I guess you say, a really good guy. He's going to work hard. He's going to be a, you know, solid backup, but he's also going to be the backup. Rennie's going to be, there's not going to be that maybe netminding controversy there was at times last year with, well, are we going to start Rennie? Are we going to start Skinsey? It's going to be, I would imagine, Rennie most nights this year. Yeah. And, you know, Tyler will obviously come in and step up if he has to, but yeah, you'd imagine that Rennie's going to get the majority of the starts. Obviously, Tyler, he's a tough kid. He's been through an awful lot in his life already. So, he'll be raring to go if he gets an opportunity to do so. But yeah, you've got to think that Rennie will be the workhorse of that duo this year. And he's done it before. And yeah, hopefully he can do it again. And like I say, an informed Rennie Miles is as good as pretty much any netminder in this league when he's on it. Like I say, not his best year last year, but there were signs towards the end of the year that he was getting back to it. So if he can carry that on to the new season, yeah, we've got a good solid combo there.
Yep, and let's not forget, you know, it's a netminding tandem which has won trophies for us before.
It's our league winning netminding tandem.
It is our league winning netminding tandem, and you know that I accept that was a different league, and the National League is a lot tougher now and a lot more kind of varied between top and not varied between top and bottom. You know, the competitiveness between the top teams and the bottom teams are a hell of a lot closer than the league that we won when we had these two. But in the locker room, that's only going to be memories of winning trophies, and these guys have won it. That's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, 100%.
Which brings us on to the defense, because that's the way we're doing it. Eddie Bebris, Sam Godfrey, Tyler Blues, Jamie Smith, Stevie Whitfield, and Reece Kelly. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think it's safe to say that defensively, we struggled at times last year. I don't think that's a controversial take at all. That we knew there was going to be some change in the defensive group this year. Maybe people would have expected more. Change. I mean, there's still maybe time for more, but maybe people would have expected more change than the, you know, we've only got one completely new face. But arguably, we're in a much better position defensively than we were 12 months ago.
There's been more change up front than I think people expected.
Definitely.
We'll come up to shortly.
Yeah, we'll talk about the forwards in a bit, but defensively, I mean, if we break it into pairs, Eddie Bebris and Stevie Whitfield, that was a strong pairing for us, particularly the second half of last season. I think we'll benefit from the fact that Eddie's had a full season on D now, so you're not going to have necessarily the bedding in period to start the season that you had last year. You know, I think the first couple of months were mixed.
there's no doubt that the Eddie Bebris that finished the season was light and day compared to the Eddie Bebris that started that first preseason weekend against Bristol.
Yeah, that first
penalties every 2 minutes.
Yeah, the first preseason weekend against Bristol was interesting to watch, it has to be said. Lots of penalties, lots of positioning, interesting positioning from Eddie, I think you'd say. Lack of positioning, yeah. It was a bit, we were wondering, there was a bit, I think a lot of us, myself included, and I think yourself included, thinking, oh my God, what have we done here?
Uh-huh.
But actually, you know, he's ended up being pretty solid defensively the second half of the season. Him and Witt work well together.
Yep.
Obviously, Witt's in his final season as well, but Eddie, you know, put up nearly 50 points as a D-man in the regular season. He's hopefully got a settled partner now as well, with at least for this year, with Stevie Whitfield, and say obviously going into his final season before retirement. But yeah, that's a solid pairing. You've got, you know, then two experienced returnees in Tyler Blues and Sam Godfrey. We know what those two bring. There's not much to say about those guys. You know, we know they'll be physical. They'll, you know, work hard. They'll do the basics. You know,
that's they'll do their jobs. You know, they're going to be responsible. They're going to be up for it. Palooza's going to be the life and soul of the party, I have no doubt. Again, like, they're good guys to have in the locker room. You know, God is, to be fair, Palooza as well. They're both experienced. They've both played elite league hockey. They've, you know, God has won things. You know, won things with Guildford back in the EPL and Slough, and they're big parts of the team. They're those players that you just. Now, don't get me wrong. Obviously, I do the social media for the Wildcats. I know which signings I expect to explode on social media and which ones I don't. But they're crucial parts to this team.
What's still surprising me with Tyler, is not including that COVID Cup weird bubble season, which wasn't a season but was. I'm not going to count
whatever it was. Yeah,
this is his fifth full year in Swindon coming up.
I know, it's crazy.
He's been here half a decade already, and it doesn't feel like yesterday that he came in as a, you know, 19, 20-year-old kid from Edinburgh who, you know,
and we've said it before, and
he'll have a terrible mismatch.
Yeah, the haircut isn't getting any better, I've got to be honest.
No.
But, you know, there's still a little bit of time before September for it to either get better or infinitely worse. As we've said this in this podcast before, at least I think I have, like, the only other player that kind of came into the club and has kind of taken it on the same way that Palooza has been Bully when he came down from Nottingham, you know, when the TVs were still in black and white. But, yeah, Palooza 5 years, that's... You'll be thinking about testimonial next.
Yeah. Well, you're thinking, yeah, we'll talk about Bully later, but you think, you know, when he came down to Swindon, Neil Liddy was only about 32, so it was the old days. But and then you've got the... and then
Lids had only retired once by then.
Yeah, exactly. And
it's then up to three already.
Yeah, and then you've got the two arguably most interesting players in the D group. You've got, obviously, Jamie Smith, who's not a new signing. It's going to be his first... We assume it will be full-time. It will be his first full-time season. There's not been any kind of two-way announce. It certainly sounds like he's going to have a big part to play on the roster. And he really impressed last year. I think he really impressed everyone.
He literally came out of nowhere.
As a 17-year-old in this league, incredible amount of composure on the puck, good positioning, just solid.
Nothing fazed him, did it? Nothing fazed him.
He just seems so composed. And you see young players, sometimes they're like that. Rarely they're like that. A lot of times, you know, they're a bit more, particularly D-Man, a bit more rushed. It takes a bit more time. But he stepped in. Okay, that first game against Hull, he scored a goal. Okay, it was not a close game. Hull were obviously in their sort of struggling early stages with not having any players and stuff. But he's gone in. The game that for me really stood out was when we went to Peterborough.
Yeah, I was just about to say the same thing.
I think, was it around when Pruzy was suspended, I think, and Jamie stepped in and played second pair with Godders, and we won that game, and he didn't put a foot wrong all night.
Was it also the same game, and I may be getting these confused, that Eddie actually played up front as well?
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was.
Effectively, not only were we going into Peterborough without Pruzy, but Eddie played probably about three games up front all season, and that was
exactly. So we were, you know, I think he came in and played on that second pair with God, with Sam Godfrey, and didn't put a foot wrong all night. And yeah, you know, that was, you know, a standout game. And yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see. Obviously, second season's going to be tough because teams know a bit more about him now. Opposition coaches know a bit more about his strengths and weaknesses. They wouldn't have had the tape they've got on him now last year, but I kind of just get the feeling he's a personality who's just not going to be fazed by that, and he's just going to carry on doing what he does. And yeah,
the best defensemen are like that.
Yeah, exactly. The best defensemen are the defensemen you don't really notice. Yeah. In a game, and Jamie Smith's best quality is he can go around doing his business very quietly indeed. And then you've got Reece Kelly, who kind of took the lead by storm for half the season in Bristol, and then the second half, to be fair to Reece, Bristol, and I don't think it's unfair, Bristol didn't have the best second half of the season. They had a lot of injuries, they had a lot of issues, and they just kind of ran out of legs. You know, Owen Sobchak being injured the second half of the year really hurt them. He was the kind of talisman of that team. But Reece Kelly kind of, came again, a guy who on paper looked good, but still came out of nowhere in his first full year of senior hockey in the UK. And, you know, he could hit, he had a cannon of a shot. He was strong. He moves the puck well, he can skate well. And so I think it's a really big signing to get him in. I'm looking forward to watching him in a Cats jersey. I think, you know, again, I don't want to be hypercritical. I think when we saw him towards the back end of the season, he was a bit quieter. But again, I think that was more the team around him was struggling, and they were, you know, they were short benched and they were tired. And
yeah, no, I agree.
It was a tough season on a young team.
I think he'll be a good fit for the back six. You know, the defense of the team. I think. You're going to probably presume he plays on a line with Pluzy.
It would make sense based on the other two pairings as well. Obviously, they're both from Kikkodi.
That was going to be my next point. You know, the five boys at the back, I'm sure they're both.
The five boys at the back. But you've got, you know, we've already said Eddie and Witz is likely going to be a pair. And then you're going to have, we've said it, Godders and Jamie probably played their best hockey together. So it makes absolute sense that the middle pair would be Pluzy and Reece.
Yep. No, absolutely. Right. That kind of wraps the defense up, including your goalies. Right. That's just one or two forwards to talk about. I think it was 13, I think I said it was.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna do it because, you know, I've committed to this because I've done it for the Netminders and the D-Men, so I've got to do it for the forwards as well. So attention, please, because Tom, you're probably going to tell me I've forgotten somebody. Let's see if I can do this right. Balint Pacozdi, Chris Jones, Sam Bullis, Russ Cowley, Thomas Malaszynski, Aaron Nell, Reed Sayers, Glenn Billing, Alfie Druitt, Dylan Lipsy, Gail Lubwele, Josh Shaw, Colby Tower.
I think that's everyone. I think that's everyone. You did it in a really strange order. I don't quite know the order you picked there, but
I did it in the order that I could remember them.
Fair enough. That is the best order.
I started off thinking I'm going to do the returnees first and then kind of pivoted quickly because I forgot one and then went, oh, no, there was Russ. So yeah. I'm going to do that.
There we go. No.
That's your 13 forwards. Let's kind of split this one up into returnees and then we'll talk about the new guys at the end.
Yep.
Because as much as I want, we could sit here happily and talk about the guys we've brought back. It's the new signings that everyone gets excited about. And yeah, we've got some good ones this year up front. Yeah, we know what we're getting with the guys we've got back. Aaron, obviously, massive piece. Like, let's just talk about that straight off the bat.
Yeah, Premier British goal
scorer. Premier British goal scorers do not grow on trees. In my opinion, there's probably about five in the league.
Yeah.
Especially now the likes of Morris and Talbot have gone.
There's lots of good British point scorers. There are not many pure British goal scorers.
Nope.
Aaron is one of them. So
Aaron's one. Kieran Brown's another.
Yeah. There's a handful more. There's a handful more guys like that. But as you said, Talbot, with Norris gone particularly, he's a, you know, Norris was one as well. But
yeah, and yeah, there's guys. We'll talk for hours about that.
Certainly, you know, you look at Aaron, he's one of a very small group of guys, British guys, who's going to give you 40, 50 goals a year most seasons. Yep.
No, 100%. We might as well complete what I'm going to expect to be our top line at this point then. Thomas Malaszynski and Balint Pacozdi. Thomas Malaszynski is almost an enigma. Every time he gets to a level where I think, that's it, that's Thomas's peak, something else happens and he finds another step.
It's kind of like the Benjamin Button thing, isn't it? I wouldn't say it's not like he's aging backwards, but he's not getting worse. He's getting better as he's getting better as he ages. Or he had probably his best season as a Wildcat last year.
I mean, I vividly remember when we announced
80%, even if he's 80% of what he was last year, he's still going to be a top player in this league.
I vividly remember when we announced the fact that Thomas had come back on a 2-year deal. I think the three of us kind of, at the time, because Joe as well, we kind of said, we'll know in a year whether that's a good deal or a bad deal. I think Aaron would have been rubbing his hands together knowing that he didn't have to negotiate with Thomas after a year where he literally almost single-handedly trounced the league on his own at times. Knowing that deal was done and the wage had probably been agreed, I think he must have been putting his feet up, being quite happy.
Yeah, regular season scoring, 55 games, 42 goals, just the 73 assists in 55 games for 115 points. Yeah, he was good.
Hey, Thomas, really, if you're good. Listening to this, feel free to top that in your contract, yeah?
Yeah. Like, yeah, and he was, oh, and just to say that, he did that in his age 36 season as well. So, you know, like a time when most players are probably thinking about retirement, Thomas was putting in one of the best seasons of his career at any level. So,
yeah. No, he was dominant. And we, again, what can you say? What can you say?
And with some of the new signing guys that we'll talk about in a few minutes, you know, he's not going to probably, you'd hope he won't have to be quite that dominant. There were times where that point output was because he was playing a lot.
Being the guy, yeah.
And being the guy, and that's not to say other guys, you know, there's guys we'll talk about in a second who were really good as well, but, you know, he was the guy scoring the points, scoring the, you know, making it work for us. And hopefully with a couple of signs we've made, that will take some of the pressure off, but I still wouldn't put him past him having another big season points-wise. He's just going to keep going and going and going, and defensively he's so good as well. We talk about the points, but defensively he needs the game so well.
Yeah.
The perfect guy to have in that spot.
Yeah, no,
then you've got Balint Pacozdi on that line who works really hard. He has his ups and downs. He's still a young player, but he's just the perfect foil for those two on that line. He does the hard work and he'll score the scrappy sort of goals that can make for him.
It almost feels like an injustice saying this because, you know, when I've played NHL on the PlayStation or the Xbox or whatever, you know, you've always that line chemistry you try and get right. You always have a playmaker, a sniper, and a power forward.
Yeah.
Like that, that's kind of your magic trio. Aaron's your sniper. Bally is your perfect power forward. It feels an injustice to say that Thomas is a playmaker because he's a hell of a lot more than a playmaker. But when he puts up 73 assists, you can qualify as a playmaker. It is a line that clicked the moment it played together, and I have no doubt that to start the season, at the very least, that is going to be the line that rolls out. And I have no doubt that it will just click and continue to be effective.
I mean, Thomas led the league in assists last year. Yeah. Second in points behind Kieran Brown. He led the league in assists. He only actually led the league by two assists. There was another player with over 70 assists last year, which I hadn't really noted. Matt Hayward, who ironically is also 2 points behind Thomas. He had the exact amount of goals that Thomas had in the regular season for the Leeds Knights. So those two assists have put Thomas into second above Hayward in terms of points. So there we go. That was how good Thomas was making passing the puck last year.
Yeah, and he may have been a couple of points shy because I'm pretty certain he had the last game of the regular season off as well.
Yeah, he only played 55. Although Hayward only played 54, he missed a weekend at some point.
Yeah,
Malash only played 55 games.
I do remember getting to Slough for that last regular season game thinking, why is he in a suit? And it was like, no, it's okay. He's just having the night off. He's fine.
Yeah, he's just not. He's being wrapped in cotton wool.
Yes, absolutely. Let's talk about the other Welsh lad, because as much as Bally's not Welsh, the way that we look at him, he may as well be.
Honorary Welshman.
He's honorary Welsh, yeah, just because of, you know, his commuting situation. But CJ's back again, a player that we're not going to talk about for a long time because we love him. We think he's brilliant. We think he's massively underrated. We used to sponsor him, but
not biased at all.
Not biased at all. No, not at all. Quality player, great bloke. Buzzing. Really happy to get back.
Big for the power play. You know, we all know that he likes to shoot from his particular spot on the power play. Again, had a good season last year, 64 points. Had a really good start to the season. I think he was one of our better players early on. Other guys maybe overtook him. That's not to say he played badly the rest of the way, but other guys perhaps found form. But I think those first few weeks, CJ was kind of the star man for us while other guys got going.
Yep.
It's just really good to have him back. He's, like I say, a key piece. He's very versatile and he's got a good two-way game. So, yeah, look forward to seeing him again. And, you know, again, he's another guy. We'll talk about versatility a lot, I think, with these forwards. But he can play centre, he can play a wing, and he can probably play any of your top three lines if you need him to.
Yep. Speaking of a guy that can play any of the top three lines if you need him to, Russ Cowley. A signing last summer that I don't think either of us expected.
No.
Really came out of left field. Okay, he was announced a couple of weeks into the season.
Yeah.
But there was a couple of comments when we signed him about how he wasn't going to be as effective.
Yeah.
Nah.
Well, yeah, like I say, again, like Stevie Whitfield going into his final season for a well-earned retirement, you know, one of the finest players in the British game for the last few years, Russ Cowley, over the last kind of, I say few, for the last kind of decade or more.
And I'm going to say this, just to slightly interrupt you here, because everyone I've ever spoken to about Russ Cowley has said the same thing, about how an unbelievably nice man he is. I'd never doubted them for a second, but oh my days, I can't believe it.
He's so nice.
The absolute gentleman. What a man.
A lovely guy. And yeah, had a really strong season. He put up a 70-point year in just 49 games. He obviously missed a few games here and there over the year. Unfortunately, missed the playoffs due to an injury picked up in the back end of the last weekend. I think it was in the regular season. So obviously that was a shame, but yeah, he's a really big piece. And again, as you said, he played a bit of top line last year. He played most of the season on the second line. I think there's conventional wisdom to say he could end up playing some third line this year, just the way that the roster's been built. You'd say that he could do any of those jobs. You're probably going to play him through the middle on whichever line you're on because he wins so many face-offs. But yeah, you could conventionally, he could play up like... In my mind, you haven't penciled him as your third line centre this year, but that was a kind of a disservice to us in terms of,
yeah, it's probably
gonna, you know, it's not going to be a traditional third line if he's on there.
It's going to be a set, it's going to be a 2B, isn't it?
Yeah, just the way that this roster's been built means there's a bit more versatility to make those moves. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see where he fits in, but you'd assume down the middle and again be a big piece of the power play.
Yep, no, he will be. Going to jump ahead a little bit at this one, but Reed, a player that kind of had a bit of a probably breakout, maybe the wrong word, because I think we knew what Reed could do, but another season where he, you know, got a year older, got a year more used to the league, and the points production improved, scored a couple of really big goals for us, and again was another player towards the end of the season that, you know, was a big part of our team.
Yeah, he had a bit of a, as it turned out to be a bit of a frustrating, I guess, season in the end. But it was a breakout. He went from a 14-point year in 44 games, regular season games, in 21-22 to 26 points, which includes a jump of from 4 goals to 13 goals. As you say, he started to find the net a bit more. He had a couple of games where he stepped up into the top six to cover injuries, which he did, you know, really well in, scored a few goals in that, added some offense to the third line, which, you know, it was a line that probably didn't produce enough offensively last year. Again, I think that's some of the moves that Aaron's made this summer will hopefully fix that and more. But, you know, he had a year where he kind of did a lot for the team, and, you know, this, he's still a work in progress. I still think it's safe to say that, and there's still things that people around the club and fans and stuff will say about Reed that are weaknesses, and I would fully agree with those things. But he's a player who's always improving, always working to improve. And yeah, I think he's on for potentially a really good season, because I think he's going to have a more offensive-minded line around him more for the most part of the season. Also, hopefully, he had an injury at the wrong time last year, mid-season, which I think derailed him a little bit. He kind of set him back a bit with his confidence in the way he was playing the game. And yeah, hopefully that will kind of drift away. He also had quite an unfortunate injury in the last game of the season, but seems that it wasn't as bad as
first
feared. So we should be able to see him on the ice come September. And yeah, like I say, I think he's a guy who, I used to say this about Tom Zrukis a lot, he's a guy who's primed for a breakout season, and he kind of had that partially last year, and I think he can kind of step up again this year and should be aiming for, you know, to continue that progression into this season.
How many goals do you say? 13.
13 last year, yeah. 13 goals, 13 assists.
Not putting pressure on your read, but I think, you know, plus 20 goal season sounds quite nice. Sounds quite nice. We'll see how it goes. Next on my list, Bully.
What can you say about Sam Bullis?
Bully is Bully.
Yeah.
Bully is literally older than the furniture at the Link Centre.
Yeah.
But comes to compete every night. Night after night. You cannot fault his commitment to hockey, to the club, to Swindon. And this year, I think, again, potentially may not have as much of a role as he potentially had in the last few years. But I actually think that's a good thing, because I think that takes... I think he's still going to have a role. I just think his line mates are going to be different this year. I think that's what is going to do wonders for him as much as who's going to be on his team.
I think it's going to be a different role. He's probably going to get less minutes, less kind of pressure on him in terms of providing, you know, obviously Bully's always going to provide a bit of secondary offense, but, you know, there's going to be less pressure on him. I mean, he had quite a good second half of the season, production-wise. I do remember very vividly last year looking at the stats after about 15-20 games and thinking, well, he's only got like 1 point. He's really struggling to put the puck in the net or create anything offensively, and he's ended up with an 18-point season. So he had a strong second half. I do think, you know, he's going to be in a slightly different role. He moved notably kind of full-time to centre last year. I think there's potentially, again, with the guys who signed, we'll talk about them in a bit, There's potentially a kind of 4C role, kind of a bit more of a leading a younger line role, which I think he'll just be perfect for Bully. And I always look forward to watching Bully play, and I think he'll be up for it. He's always
I think he will.
He'll want to have a good season this year.
Yeah, I think he will. A couple of young lads, Alfie Druitt and Dylan Lipsey, great to have that up and coming prospects in the lineup, and hopefully they're going to be around a lot this year.
Yeah, exactly. It's always tough to work out what the role is going to be for someone who's 16, 17, like those two are. But, you know, you've got the options here to run those four lines. I think with Bully in that team and the guys we brought in, you're going to have probably more confidence to run four lines as well. So we should see plenty of Dylan and Alfie. I mean, we saw Dylan's first goal, which was a great moment at the link in front of his dad and his brother. When we played Basingstoke last year, and I think that was a really popular moment. I think Alfie's first goal, it's got to be coming. It's got to be coming. There were a few games, just particularly the last couple of weekends of the season, where the chances were there and it just didn't quite fall for him, or, you know, it didn't quite sit on his stick, and, you know, the chances were there. So I think we'll see, you know, Alfie break that duck as well. But yeah, no, it's always going to be interesting to see them play. I think Dylan is, you know, he's a young, quick player, and yeah, he should be a really good fit for what Alan wants out of the bottom six. So yeah, hopefully we'll see a lot of him, and we'll see, you know, again, the continued development of those two.
Yeah, no, I agree. The last returning face, probably the most requested signing we've had from our my social media point of view in a long time. But as we revealed last week, Colby's back. And everyone's happy about that.
Yeah, definitely. Be really interesting to see how he does in season two. I think he's primed for a really big second year.
I think we both said during the course of the season that if sometimes you see imports and you think their second year, they might struggle. But I think we both said relatively soon on, if Colby decided to come back second season, he could have a really big year.
Yeah, I think
which is easy to forget, but that's kind of what Thomas did if you look back at it.
Yeah, exactly. I think at the start of the season, he struggled a little bit, not in terms of performance, but just in terms of learning the league and putting getting the offense going. I mean, you know, he was a bit unlucky. He was making good plays, but it wasn't coming off. And, you know, he had a few kind of big breakout performances. There was one night in Romford where he absolutely just tore the Raiders apart by himself. And, you know, he might not be the biggest scoring import we've ever had. Even this, you know, this year, he might not be the biggest scoring import we ever have. But, you know, he's quick. He works hard. He gets under the opposition's skin a bit as well, which is always, you know, he's not going to back down. Even though he's a smaller guy, he's not going to back down and get pushed around, which is always good to see. And yeah, he had a 30 goal year last year. He can put the puck in the net, he can make good plays, he can play special teams. So yeah, I think it's a really exciting signing. There's a good reason why everyone was saying sign Colby, announce Colby.
Yep.
Because yeah, he's such a popular player, but he's also a very, very good player at this level.
Yep. He is. And again, we're kind of coming towards the end of the forwards now, which means it must be time for some new faces. So let's go back to front almost and say not only have we got Colby, but Colby's brought his best mate over from Basingstoke, and Gael Lobwele is a Swindon Wildcat, who was also quite popular in the comments that I noticed this summer of can we sign Gael, because he's a player that I think we needed. He's a player that I think brings something different, and I think from the conversation I had with him last week, he's going to be a player that Swindon fans are going to absolutely love.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. Obviously last year he played in a Basingstoke team that they struggled at times, I think it's safe to say. Him and Zach Milton kind of carried, were kind of given the spot of the room, he'd rather carrying the offense along parts of the season.
Especially when Aidan Doughty went down.
Especially after Aidan Doughty got injured. So, you know, he had that role of being the big scorer, and he did well. You know, he had a near 40-goal season, 76 points. He picked up a lot of penalties. I think that's something we're going to have to understand as Swindon fans. He isn't going to, you know, that's part of his game. He's a spark plug. He's going to hit. He's going to, you know, stand up for his team. He's going to, yeah, he's going to be physical. He's going to, again, he's going to potentially try and get under the opponent's skin, but, you know, he's going to toe the line, I think, is what I was want to say. And yeah, he definitely brings something different. He definitely brings something that we lacked at times last year. He brings an edge. He brings a bit of nastiness. Again, he's got a really good shot. He scores goals. Let's not pretend that's not why he's here. He's here to provide offense as well. But yeah, he can. I think he's going to have a really important role. He's not going to be the single go-to guy. He's not even going to be the, you know, necessarily the number one import because you've got Malash. So, you know, he's going to be get an opportunity to kind of play second line, have a bit less pressure, and maybe have the kind of, I wouldn't say the leash taken off him, because I think, you know, he still was one of the high penalty takers in the league last year. So he wasn't exactly on a tight leash, amazing. So, but I think you'll see him being, you know, that kind of spark plug guy who's going to make a big hit, or, yeah, you know, just generally.
He's going to get the rink rocking. And yeah, I think exactly. that is going to be.
For me, he's the first player. He's a player with the kind of very Max Bagrea ilk in terms of a guy who's going to throw the hit. He's going to get under opponent's skin. He's going to be chirping away. He's going to play the game in a particular way. Yeah. Those guys are always popular. You know, you look at Tyler Blues, he's popular because he plays that physical game as well. I think Gale is just going to be, he's going to be a real fan favourite if he clicks.
Yeah, no, I agree. Probably the most...
And there's obviously the link that with Colby as well. It'll be interesting to see how, whether they're on a line together, how much they're on a line together. But, you know, you've got two guys there who know each other like the back of their hand, and they live together. And, yeah, that'll be an interesting dynamic to have. I don't know if we've ever really had... I suppose we had Michael Pink and Yaroslav sort of Chesky, but since then we've never really had two imports. It's kind of come in as a pair. You've obviously had two now. They were a pair, but that was different. These are like I said, two guys who are coming as a kind of bit of a, you know, you'd assume one is signed because of the other sort of thing.
Yeah, they kind of came as a pair. Probably the most, in fact, I'm going to say this one to last. In the middle of the newbies, Josh Shaw coming back over from Bristol, a player that you and me both really rate highly, were probably quite quietly disappointed we lost a year ago. Out of all the guys that went down to Bristol, I think Josh was the one that probably losing him for a year frustrated me the most. A player I'm delighted to have back, and I think is probably one of the best under 18 hockey players in the UK at the moment, and I think that's going to be a really underrated signing. I think whilst the headlines of us getting like the likes of Gael Abuele, and we'll come on to Glenn Billing in a minute, are like the big name shout of, you know, we're Swindon, this is who we've brought in, I think Josh is going to kind of fly under the radar. And again, we've talked about it, some of the players he's probably going to be off the opportunity to play with up and down the lineup, I think he's going to be an underrated player this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we saw flashes 2 years ago.
When the kid was only 16,
and, you know, he works his socks off, and he's quick. He's rapid. He skates so fast.
How much quicker he'd be if he cut his hair.
I know. He's got all that aerodynamic.
I'm joking. No, if that's where the speed is, grow it longer.
Yeah. Grow the hair more. But, I mean, it's a tradition, isn't it, that the cats have, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's been a while since we've had, like, really good hair. So it's good to get someone like Shawsy back.
Yeah, he joins the good hair club.
And again, I'm going to say it, if he is listening, Plusey, you're not in that club.
No, you're not. You know, try and grow your hair like Shawsy, and then we'll talk. I think he'll just be. He's a player who's hopefully going to get the chance to develop. Again, we've said versatility. He can play in a few different roles. He can do a few different things. And, you know, there's some guys in our team who aren't at the beginning of their careers anymore. We obviously know Russ Cowley's retiring, Stevie Whitfield's retiring. You've got a few guys in their kind of into their 30s now as well. So, you know, guys like having guys like Dylan and Shawzy are going to be big in the, and Reed are going to be big going forwards in the future. And yeah, hopefully, you know, we can keep them to keep this group together. We can develop them and we can, they can go on to bigger and better things for the club or elsewhere. You know, if they get opportunities to hopefully go play at a higher level in the future.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Lastly, and by no means least, probably the signing that surprised everybody the most.
Yes.
Because let's be honest, like getting a Swindon kid back from Bristol isn't really a shock, and getting Colby's best mate over from Basingstoke, when we obviously know what's happened to Basingstoke and how tragic that is this year, probably isn't much of a shock.
No.
Getting Glenn Billing out of Peterborough was not a move I was expecting Harrow to make this summer.
No, no, because it just felt that Glenn was part of the furniture in Peterborough.
To the point, I'll be honest with you actually here, I think I told you this privately, but when Aaron told me, I did kind of say to him, really? Like, you sure?
Yeah. It felt that Glenn was part of, you know, part of that core and would stay part of that core. But I
felt like one of those ones that got away.
Yeah, definitely. It always did. You know, obviously, location and stuff make a big difference, but, you know, he was such a good young player with the OHA. He probably had one of the biggest impacts as a junior when we had OHA guys on two-way. Obviously, guys like Tom Zrutkis and Jordan Kelso developed the maybe bigger roles for Swindon. But Glenn was probably, as a 16, 17-year-old, the best of them at that time. And obviously, yeah, it was frustrating then when he went off, obviously, being from that part of the world, went off to Milton Keynes and then to Peterborough. But yeah, obviously personal circumstances have kind of changed. He alluded to that with the travel and stuff. So there's a bit of luck, though, I guess, the location and stuff. But it's a massive signing. He's a really, really, really good British forward.
He is one of those few British forwards that I think any team in this league would sign tomorrow if they could.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. He does a lot of...
With, like, no questions asked. There's guys out there that I think just walk into teams, and I think Glenn would be one. I don't think you can turn around from the Bees to the Knights. If you turn around to any of those head coaches and say, yeah, Glenn wants to sign for you, do you want to do it? They're all going to say yes.
Yeah, 100%. I think, he does a lot of things really well at both ends of the ice, you know. And he's a player who's been a real pain to play against for the last few years. And he'll add offense to the second line or the first line or the third line or whichever line he gets put on. He'll add offense to the line. You know he's going to be good in the face-offs. He's going to be responsible in his own end. He's going to work hard for the team. He's a good playmaker, but he can score goals. So he's got a little bit of everything. And yeah, it's just a real, real bonus to get him in the team. I think he's, like you say, a guy that I certainly didn't have on my radar as a, we should go out and sign. Well, I'm not that. I mean, I, if you'd said to me,
oh, I would have wanted to go and sign him every day of the week. Yeah,
I just didn't consider he wasn't on my radar as a realistic signing target because I would just, you know, had him ticked off as Peterborough and that was that. Yeah. So, yeah, no, really, really good signing that one. And yeah, going to be really interesting to see where he fits in and how he fits into the team.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think we'll talk line matchups as we get closer to the start of the season because I think you never know. Like I said,
I'm particularly once you get into pre-season and challenge.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
What the thoughts are.
But I think the point that we both said privately and probably both say now, Bally could play line 1, 2, or 3. Russ could play line 1, 2, or 3. Colby could play line 1, 2, or 3. Like, I could keep going. Like,
there's not
all these players can play. Josh Shaw could probably play lines. Maybe not. You wouldn't want him on the first line if you had to right now, just because of his age and the guys he'd be up against. But he could easily play 2, 3, or 4. Like, these guys, pretty much everyone we've got can play up and down our lineup. And
we know Sam Morris can play 4, 3, probably 2 as well. 1. We know he can play with Aaron and Marsh in a pinch if he needed a guy to sit in there because he's done it before. So
there's flexibility. There's depth.
I think depth is the key thing for me.
The age, the average age, the roster's 26 and a bit. Like, it's kind of prime age. You've got the experience of guys like Russ and Thomas and Aaron and Bully, and then you've got the youth of Alfie and Jamie, Dylan, like Josh, like it, as a forward line, that's probably the best that we probably could have put out.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously there's guys who've gone that we haven't mentioned. We knew that there were players leaving or going to leave. And, you know, I think you've done a really good job of making those. We knew there had to be some changes because of this. And yeah, I think what's happened is Alan's done a really, really good job of.
This summer's easily like a nine and a half out of 10, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a really solid off-season. The team does feel, it feels a lot deeper than it did 12 months ago, and that's not a criticism of the guys who were on the team last year or who've left, because they were all good hockey players in their own right. But I just think the roster probably needed a refresh. I think it's safe, you know, fair to say that, you know, every now and again things just need to be changed and tweaked and added to, and we probably need to just get deeper. We need to be less reliant on certain guys to put points up, and I think that's what we look to have done this year.
Yeah,
and we won't know until they're on the ice, but
no, we won't. And there's depth across the lineup, and there's depth in kind of roles in my mind as well. Like if you want defensive-minded penalty killers, you've got guys like Russ and Thomas and Aaron that can do that. If you want speedy wingers, you've got Colby and you've got Reed and you've got Josh and you've got, again, Thomas. And if you want goal scorers, you've got Aaron, you've got Gale, you've got CJ, you've got Thomas. And, you know, if you want centres, you've got Aaron, you've got Glenn, you've got Russ, you've got Bully, you've got CJ, you don't have Thomas.
Colby.
You've got Colby. Like, you've got...
There's, I think there's, Gale played a bit of centre as well with Basingstoke last year, so even though I don't think he's naturally a centre, so you've got guys who can do that role.
Yeah, there is. And there's numerous roles, but that's kind of our roster roundup. Like I said, I'm happy.
Yeah.
It's difficult to not be happy, and kind of a vibe.
I'm positive, and it's going to be, the league's going to be really tough this year. We'll talk about that more another time, I'm sure, but the league's going to be really, really competitive. There's a lot of good teams in there, but I see no reason why we can't compete with those teams. We've got a strong roster, and yeah, it's going to be exciting to get to September and see what it looks like on the ice, that's for sure.
Yeah, it will. I think that kind of brings us to the end of this episode. Anything else for you to add?
I have two very small topics. One kind of non-Swindon related, one non-Swindon related, and one very much so in the last couple of days. Obviously, we mentioned what the non-Swindon one. Obviously, sadly, Basingstoke not in the league anymore for this season.
Probably have to talk about the Sharks.
I was going to say, we kind of should welcome Solway to the league. And if there's any Solway fans listening, hello.
Yeah.
We live like 5 hours away from you, but hello. Welcome to the league.
Welcome to the league. Yeah, of course. Solway are making a big splash, and not just because they're Sharks.
That's a line that you've been saving up and almost didn't get to use.
No comment.
No, it's interesting to see. Obviously, the first Scottish team in the second tier of British hockey in a long, long time.
Very long time.
And it's exciting to see. You know, they've put together what looks like a pretty good roster.
John Dunbar's a really big pick.
Glasgow's a huge pick for them. Liam Stenton's a good signing. They obviously won everything that they could win in North One last year, including I'm friends with Streatham fans, so Chris Beale, I apologise for this, but demolishing Streatham on a Sunday lunchtime, twice, but on two Sunday lunchtimes in Coventry. They did everything they could at that level, and it was the right time, particularly with some new ownership in place to make that step up. It'd be really interesting to see how they fare at this level. And I look forward to the long, long, long trip to Dumfries at some point this year. I'm sure we'll be making it.
I'm going to clip that and remind you when we're halfway there and you'll say, like, I don't want to do this, I want to go home. It'd be like, no, you said you were looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely.
As we pull up and say, Scotland, 2.5 hours.
Yeah, definitely. Only a couple of service station stops on that one, I think.
Yeah,
100%. Obviously, hopefully we will see our friends and Basingstoke back in the league in 2024-25 as advertised. So it's hard to just say that now. It's obviously difficult for Bison fans, but losing is maybe hopefully the wrong word, but a team going, not being around is always going to be difficult. So yeah, it's going to be weird not going to Basingstoke, but hopefully, you know, things work out for them.
We'll see them all in the Sky Dome next year.
Yeah, we'll see them in the Sky Dome. Hopefully we'll see them before. You know, any Basingstoke fans are in Swindon, say hello. You know where we are.
Even if you don't live in Swindon, you can still say hello.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And your last other little topic that was Swindon related, I think I know what you're going to talk about. Yeah, but...
well, we kind of did delay the podcast for a day for various reasons, but one of the reasons was we have some jerseys to look at, or at least designs of jerseys to look at. So quick thoughts from you, Ben, on those, and then I'll move on.
Oh, yeah. A red one and a white one. That was not a shock, let's be honest, because, you know, that's kind of what we do.
We
could have had a black jersey. The black jerseys have been popular. I think they look really smart. I really like them.
They're a bit different to previous years, for sure. They're a different look. It's always hard to tell, isn't it, just from those, you know, design mock-ups.
Yeah.
You know, it's always, you can't tell for sure until you see them in the flesh, but... Yeah, I really like them. I think they look really...
Yeah, I think they look really smart. I particularly do like the white one. I think from what I've seen on social media, the red seems to be the popular favourite one at the moment. I don't dislike the red. I think I want to see the red in person. But there's no secret to anyone that knows me and knows my jersey collection. I've always preferred a white shirt over the coloured one.
Yeah, you have. You've always preferred a white one. And I do like the...
It's just something that feels nostalgic to me, of like sitting and watching the Wildcats wear white at home. I kind of like it.
I like the tweak to the logo. I like the stripe. I like the grey contrast in the shirt. I like the stripe. Basically, what I'm saying is I really like the stripe design. I think it's a bit different, and I think it's going to look really smart.
Yeah, I think it will. The only thing I wish it had, and I get why it doesn't, I was actually talking to someone today who said to me that this should be an enforceable rule across the entire league, and I'm on board with it.
I think I know what this is going to be.
Is get the numbers on the arms or the front.
Yeah,
it makes life so much easier, doesn't it? It makes life easier for everybody, but I also think it looks quite smart. You know, I'm not the designer, so I'm not going to not going to mock what they look like. I think they're really nice. I think they're going to look great, and I think the team in it are going to be pretty good.
Yeah, let's hope so.
But I think that now brings us to the
end. That was literally the only two small things. Like I said, we've kept that episode 90% Wildcats related. So,
and that's what it's going to be like going forward. And the next episode we do, I'm not going to put a time limit on exactly when it will be, but it's going to be soon. We've got a guest lined up who is probably one of the bigger names in British hockey and one of the biggest people to have played the game in Britain, and we're absolutely buzzing to talk to them. So hopefully, all being well, that will be the next episode you hear. It won't just be Tom and I, and it'll be a good chat.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to that. And hopefully sooner rather than later.
That is the plan. But for now, enjoy the rest of your summers. We'll talk before the end. We hope, you know, talk before.
I certainly think the plan is to get a couple more of these out before the
100%. But enjoy the sunny weather and the hockey free weekends, because I'm starting to count down and I want some hockey back, and it won't be long.
Yes, yeah, indeed.
So until next time, see you soon.